All right, this is Pure Decking, show number 340 for Thursday, March 14th, whatever, whenever in time you are. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and leaving traps for the janitorial staff. I'm Morps, and tonight,
Listen, no, I'm not the only one that doesn't flush at work.
God damn.
That's not what I was thinking, you know, 3D printed bear traps, but okay, that works too. Madman, what are you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm drinking, oh God, I'm getting too hipstery. It's a German beer I can't pronounce, but it's a Golden Pilsner.
Ah, I'm hitting the Eagle Rare.
Baggage Schwazen.
And are you, what are you, what's going on?
The tears of a cloud, my friend.
Nice.
I'm going to need plenty of it today.
Yeah. Oh, and Psychros is reminding us, Happy Pi Day. Although, I guess the 14th was yesterday for you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so you were late. You're late, Psychros. Come on. Oh, Pi Day 3.14.
Oh, okay.
Actually, yeah, that joke probably didn't make a lot of sense to anybody outside of... the English measurement system.
No, pi is the same everywhere.
No, but in Europe and Australia, a lot of places like that, they put the day, then the month. So they would write 14.3. So, actually, which one is it in Australia? Do you put day first or month first?
Day, man. Day, month, year.
Okay.
Well, that's like what, normal people.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what most people do. America doesn't because, you know, America, fuck yeah. So.
You most people, I don't know what you're talking about. I know of no one that does it that way.
It's a pain in the ass doing it your way, man. Like, I gotta remember that it's like the month first, then the day, then the year. If I'm looking for a video that's come out of America or is up on YouTube or something.
So, yeah. Anyways, but yeah, I don't know. I just leaving traps for the janitorial staff is actually strangely appropriate at this because. I've got some weird shit going down, so we're, I think we might actually be having an evil maid attack at work, so.
Disgruntled employees?
Sort of doing damaged office equipment.
Wow. Oh, that's you like left a couple pieces of Braunschweiger under your desk where you wouldn't find it until you had to smell it out.
No, nothing like that. It's like, you know... busted equipment, holes in the wall, shit like that.
Wow.
Happening after hours. So.
Well, a little camera will fix that right up.
Yeah, I started to do that. Then I was informed that camera placement had to be approved by various divisions within the company because it's legal reasons. I don't know. Anyways.
Oh, it's not in the fucking women's bathroom, of course. Like, you're not Asian.
NSA, we like to watch.
Yeah, as security, you should be within your right. Just go to the loss prevention guys, get them to sign off on it.
It was kind of a gray area, so it's being handled. Let's put it that way.
Better men, top men, handled by top men.
There are so many new cameras going in.
And nobody knows about.
Oh, few people know about them. They were bitching. It's like, I don't understand why we need all these. Don't worry about it. It's like, but we don't need these. Yes, we do. Somebody's picking their nose at their desk, and damn it, we're going to find out who.
Exactly.
Anyways. It's more people just worried about us seeing what they're doing on their monitors, you know, the amount of bullshit they're doing all day long. It's like, no, I see the network logs. I know what you're doing. I just don't care.
Yeah.
So, anyways, first article today is from The Independent, netco.uk. And I picked it purely because the headline was funny. Tumblr's ban on pornography and adult content has led to a fifth of its users deserting the platform, figures reveal. The ban, which came into effect on the 17th of December, provoked a backlash from users who claimed it would penalize sex-positive LGBT and not-safe-for-work art communities. Visits to the Tumblr website fell from 521 million in December to 437 million in January, according to data from web analytics firm SimilarWeb. Tumblr's decision to update its content policy came after the discovery of child sexual abuse imagery on its blogs. The ban goes far beyond illegal content, however, as it covers photos, videos, or GIFs that show real-life human genitals or female-presenting nipples, and any content, including photos, videos, GIFs, and illustration that depicts sex acts. That is the most weirdly worded way of saying smut I've ever seen.
No, what they're saying is they lost all their entire furry people, their pedophiles, and all them got kicked off.
Oh, don't forget the oversized planes that eat each other as a sex act.
Oh, God, man.
I don't remember the name for it, so I had to describe it properly.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't know the name of it.
So, continuing with the article here, certain exceptions mean that erotic text can still be posted to Tumblr blogs, as well as nudity related to political or newsworthy speech and nudity found in art.
Political or newsworthy speech?
I don't know. I didn't write this shit. Who wrote this shit? Where's the author's name? Who am I blaming for this?
If Anthony Cuthbert. If Donald left the camera on, that could be posted on Tumblr.
Anthony Cuthbert wrote this shit. Anyways, let's see. In defending the ban, Tumblr said it still wanted to be a platform for LGBTQ plus conversations. I don't know. There's a few variations on that floating around now, so I want to make sure I got it right. Tumblr will always be a place to explore your identity, it wrote. No, it's not. It's a web blog. Tumblr has always been home to... If you want to explore your identity, get a journal, and when you're done, burn the damn thing so you're not marginalized for it in a few years when you're job hunting. Come on. You know, pen and paper, put a little lock on it, hide it under your bed like all the other five-year-olds. Tumblr has always been a home for marginalized communities and always will be, Tumblr wrote. Yeah, I think IRC beat you to it. We fully recognize Tumblr's special obligation to these communities and are committed to ensuring that our new policy on adult content does not silence the vital conversations that take place here every day. For some reason, their spokesperson was wearing a devil suit and grinning sheepishly. I don't know. I just imagine their PR person, like, I don't know, being creepy. The decision to ban adult content on Tumblr proved controversial among many users and prompted a movement known as the Log Off Protest to encourage people to leave the site. Wasn't that the Facebook thing, Log Off?
I have no idea. Yeah. I've never touched these communities.
At least this is one of the protests that are getting it right. Remember when Star Wars Online decided to protest, have everyone go to the capital city? Like, you're going to protest by giving them money so you can log into their game. That's not the way protesting works.
Yeah, one online petition calling for policy to be reversed received more than 600,000 signatures. It's a web signature. Who cares? Let people post porn. It's 90% of the reason why anybody is on the site in the first place, the petition states. Do you really want a non-18-plus Tumblr? Start a new one with that specific goal in mind. Don't rip down what people have spent years working on. And Psychros has a really good point because I remember covering it. Tumblr did the porn ban because they got yanked out of the Apple store, not because of the child porn. I think Apple said it was the child porn that got them yanked. But,
well, it should be.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you got kiddie porn on there, it needs to be dealt with. But, I just, you know, I mean, on one hand, it's kind of obvious, like in other news, water is wet. But at the same time, it's pretty funny that it's like, yep, we banned porn and lost a fifth of the users on the site. And that's probably just a statistical thing based on when they did it. The quarter's not over yet. So, Cycross is saying Apple banned just because adult content was on there. Although, that said, I'm pretty sure that was the main reputation of the site was, you know, all the porn they had on it.
I don't know. It was more like weird shit on the internet. Okay, weird and lefty shit on the internet.
But you repeat yourself.
I know 4chan also has weird shit. But it was weird social justice shit.
Yeah, they were kind of known as the SJW platform too, weren't they?
Yeah. Because it's not just how crazy can the porn get. It's how crazy can a person get.
Pretty crazy. They decide they're, you know, multiple people.
Oh, yeah. And they have a one-man band. Well, woman band or thing band. One of them identifies as a star. They're one that identifies as a dragon, a unicorn, Bob, and whatever Bob. Chick this was all born in. It's one entity.
Now, I have to ask, is that Bob Agent of Hydra or just Bob?
Oh, God. If it was Agent of Hydra, that'd be at least partially awesome. But no, it's porn and crazy shit.
Well, now it's just crazy shit.
Ooh, cutting. I wonder if the emos still go there to cut.
Probably.
I don't know. Facebook started banning them for doing that shit, so who knows?
I wouldn't. I can't check. I can't fit into chick pants. I mean, if you're going to go look for cutting, you have to be wearing chick pants.
That's the wrong sound effect, but they're all whatever. So, I don't know. The Welcome to Tumblr video on YouTube a few years back, that was like the best. So, because it was going through all the different SJW shit and then just said porn. So,
I wonder how much it is going to drop.
Oh, their reputation's damaged, right? So it's going to continue to go down, especially as people start to migrate to other platforms. And it'll probably level off at some point, and it'll just be the weird shit. Yeah, I don't know.
If it's only 20% drop due to ditching porn, then porn wasn't a huge part of their business. I mean, it is a significant minority, but you can live with that.
Well, I'm also wondering how they're doing those statistics, right? Because they didn't really go into detail in the article about what length of time. Just, you know, hey, we're just seeing fewer numbers, you know, about a million less users. So, but, you know, you have sites like Reddit and Vote and, you know, of course, Twitter and shit like that you have all these old links that are still floating around going to shit. So, you know, I'm kind of wondering how much of that is kind of residual, like, you know, just a lot of momentum. So I'm wondering how far it's going to fall before it levels off. You know what I mean? I doubt it's leveled off yet. It's only been a few months.
I'm not even sure. Has it been a full month yet?
December 17th.
Okay. Time flies by when I'm not giving a shit about something.
Yep.
I mean, I didn't go there for porn. There's actual porn sites. Sorry.
So I'm wondering how much of it's residual and momentum, but I mean, there's hundreds of other places you could just set up a blog. So if that's all they are now, they don't really have anything over, you know, WordPress or Blogger or, I mean, hell, just getting one of the free WebSpace accounts and throwing up something. So I don't really see. I mean, they're just yet another social blogging platform at this point, right? So I don't see the reason. I don't see any compelling reason for people to stick with them. I think you'll see more people going over to other sites.
They've already got a critical mass for people reading your blog. It's not enough that you write about your crappy life. Somebody has to read it.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Act their live shit up journal. On the internet.
I thought everybody went from LiveJournal to Tumblr, but okay, go back to LiveJournal. That or Twitter. Apparently Twitter's really eased up on posting the not safe for work stuff.
The Reddit,
yeah, but you have that
place
credit,
to go.
That character limit.
Eh.
Can we post Swamps of Dagobah on Twitter?
See, now this is where I'm not certain what you mean by Swamps of Dagobah, so I'm just going to leave it there and move on to the next one.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Let's move on.
Yeah, I think that's one of these things where it's like, next topic. Because it's like, I don't know what that is, but it's probably something horrible. So, let's see. Next one's from dailymail.co.uk. I wanted to talk about this one, again, because it's a statistics game. Let's see. I guess we'll do the headline. Working here, did I say this from the dailymail.co.uk? Working here is being in a colony of hell. The shocking 911 calls from employees inside Amazon warehouses, prompted by at least 189 suicide threats and mental health breakdowns between 2013 and 2018. Yeah, at least 189 9/11 calls were made from inside the Amazon warehouses across the U.S. Calls reported suicide threats and mental health breakdowns between 2013 and 2018. Amazon workers are heard describing coworkers of having suicidal thoughts, overdosing, and attempting to cut themselves with box cutters. Emergency workers were called to Amazon warehouses across the United States at least 189 times for suicide threats and mental health breakdowns between 2013 and 2018, a new report has revealed. Audio from 911 calls obtained by the Daily Beast contained shocking descriptions of several suicide attempts. Some of the Amazon workers are heard describing coworkers as having suicidal thoughts, overdosing, and attempting to cut themselves with box cutters. Reports came from all over the country, including Twinsburg, Ohio, Hebron, Kentucky, Joliet, Illinois, and Chester, Virginia, just to name a few. In one case, the employee at the Hebron location threatened to stab herself in the stomach. She was pregnant at the time, and other employees had fear she would harm the baby. Amazon has made headlines on several occasions regarding the company's hellish working conditions. In January of 2015, In January 2015, a young man threatened to jump off the second floor of the warehouse in Chester. Yeah, you're going to need to get higher than the second floor, buddy, unless you're, you know, taking a dive.
He works at Amazon. He's not making long-term choices. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Cycros, they usually have a blunt tip and they're sharp on one side if you're, you know, potentially just, you know, using the wrong side of the box cutter.
It is a razor blade. You can't cut yourself with it.
Oh, absolutely. Unless it's all, it's unless not a you've stabbing used it so much implement, it's though. Dull. Cardboard does tend to dull the knife pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean, how terrible does this place have to be? I mean, I've worked retail. I've even, you know, thought of cutting myself working retail, but suicide?
No. That's when you go, I have a knife. I'm going to hurt other people.
But how weak are these people? They're not even working retail. So it's not the general public interacting with them every day. That they're losing their shit and wanting to kill themselves.
Yeah, but we've done like, articles about how shitty it is working for Amazon and their warehouses.
I know, man, but I think I'd rather do that than deal with the general public.
Throw in your playlist, and you have a list of things to scan and pull from bins and stick on a trolley, move out to shipping. I don't.
Yeah,
it's monotonous. I don't know how crappy.
Well, there's apparently the warehouses are not very well temperature controlled, so they get pretty uncomfortable during the summer and the winter. Also, also during the apparently they keep these crazy statistics on their people, and like you can only take a 10 minute bathroom break a day, but you have a 20 minute maximum for bathroom breaks throughout the week. And you have to meet some pretty crazy quotas.
Can you save your bathroom breaks up for like 1 month?
Well, I don't know. Just the article.
And then take a day off.
Breaks are set by the state. I think mine, if it's an 8-hour work day, it's a minimum of two 10-minute breaks and a 20 or 30 minute lunch.
Well, then Amazon's violating the law and their employees need to sue them. But apparently they also have to wear these wristbands that like actually track where they physically are all day. So it's interesting. I mean, I can see where people would think it's pretty stifling. But, you know, as far as college jobs go, I don't see that as being a terrible one compared to some of the jobs. I mean, fuck, I did my time in a factory. I mean, hell. Yeah, admittedly, I wasn't in the factory all the time, but I did my time there, too. So employees who spoke to the Daily Beast described the relentless pressure from working at Amazon. They described a working environment where employees are treated like robots in an isolating colony of hell. So, retail?
No, I could see it being more isolating than retail. When I was working with retail, I was dealing with people constantly. I've got a job that's fairly isolated, even though I'm surrounded by people. I don't talk with them. I don't deal with them. And their job with the warehouse is probably about the same. It's, here's your list. You don't actually get to talk with your coworkers because you're busy pulling shit all the damn time.
Well, yeah, throw your headphones on and podcast out all day, right? So
yeah, so unless you like being socially isolated, then I can see where eventually that'd get depressing.
I also don't see working in an Amazon warehouse as long-term employment. That seems like something you would do until you can find something better, because it's not exactly skilled labor. Now, granted, I've been told I'm an ableist and a capitalist, and of course I would have such an opinion, you horrible person, you, but, you know...
Or at least move up in Amazon. I want to manage the plebes at the warehouse.
Apparently, they have a big office opening up not too far from here. So, who knows?
Oh, yeah. Cortez ran him out of New York. He got to pick somewhere else.
Yeah. Let's see. Jace Crouch, a former Amazon employee in Lakeland, Florida, told the news outlet that people having breakdowns is a regular occurrence. Crouch, who had his own emotional crisis while on the job, said it's mentally taxing to do the same task super fast for 10-hour shifts 4 or 5 days a week.
You've got an IQ below 80.
I think the assembly line workers from the last generation would like to speak with you. Another former employee from the Aetna, Ohio warehouse said it was often impossible to physically keep up with workload. Even if it isn't your fault, they ignore any explanation you could give, the employee told the Daily Beast, adding that he feared for his job. Once you have enough write-ups, you're out the door. There goes your livelihood. There was a constant sense of, did I screw that up? Did I screw that up? Did I screw that up? He added. You know, it was like having permanent anxiety. 5 of the 6 current or former Amazon workers who were interviewed by the Daily Beast revealed that after their breakdowns at I think that's a self-selecting group. Anyways, after their breakdowns at work, they were put on short-term medical or disability leave. Okay, so you had a mental breakdown and they put you on medical leave. What's wrong with that? Yeah. During that leave, they said they struggled to obtain promised compensation and in some cases were ultimately fired. Well, you shouldn't be fired while you're on medical leave, but I suppose when you come back, it does say ultimately. According to the Daily Beast, while on leave, some of the workers used Amazon's assistance program, which includes 3 phone conversations with a counselor. But even the Amazon provided health insurance, the costs were also a financial burden. The Daily Beast report also describes one particular incident in which 36-year-old Jonathan Forrest took his own life while working for Amazon. Forrest had initially been excited to start the new position as a picker at Amazon and even ranked number 8 out of 100 pickers whose job it was to place items in bins. But his father, Butch, said after a few months on the job, his son started to hate his position and began making suicidal comments in the summer of 2017. Forrest qualified for medical leave and sought out help from a psychiatrist who diagnosed him with bipolar disorder and prescribed him medication. Soon after Forrest returned to work at Amazon Warehouse, he started making more suicidal comments, according to the Daily Beast. His mental health continued to deteriorate, and in January 2018, Forrest took his life. Forrest's father... I think
I just want to interject. You can't get bipolar from a job.
He may have always had it and just never been diagnosed.
Yeah.
I think you're looking. I mean,
as much as I hate Mr. Bezos, he's not giving people bipolar.
I feel for the guy that his son killed himself, but I think there's more going on here.
Yeah.
Forrest's father told the news outlet that he knows his son was struggling on many levels, but he believes that working at Amazon played a major role in his suicide. Butch said when it comes to the holidays, he would be 5 days in a row. or it would be 5 days in a row. It killed him. When DailyMail.com reached out to Amazon for comment on the 9/11 calls, the company replied, "The physical and mental well-being of our associates is our, you know, it's just boilerplate. It's our top priority, and we're proud of our efforts." Yeah, boilerplate PR response. "We provide comprehensive medical care starting on day one, so employees have access to the care they need and care when they need it most, 24 hours a day. Free and confidential counseling services and various levels of medical accommodation options covering both mental and physical health concerns. This is the first time Amazon has been called out for its working conditions. Last April, at least 100 Amazon workers in the UK said in a survey that they suffered from depression, and 8 of those individuals said they thought about killing themselves." The article keeps going on and on and on, and yeah, they eventually get to, you know, how much Bezos makes and, you know, what a horrible person he is because he makes a lot of money.
He also employs a shit ton of people.
Yeah.
Also keeps commerce going in America through truck drivers and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, man, it takes an army to deliver this shit.
So here's, how many people are just, you know, I do it. Go on Amazon, just, oh, that looks good, that looks good, that looks good. You know, you're not thinking about how many people actually have to handle that stuff, right?
Yeah, the only thing is, the IT staff that keep his webpage up, everybody behind that website, then you have logistics, the packers, the supervisors, maintenance guys, janitorial staff. This is before your package is even left. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and granted, Jeff Bezos, not the greatest guy in the world. I'm not defending some of the crazier shit he's done. Like, didn't he marry somebody who was like 20 years old or something weird like that?
He's got the money to.
Yeah.
Dude, if I become a billionaire tomorrow, am I staying with my wife? That's a fucking noodle scratcher right there. You know what I mean? You know, what, Jeff Bezos, a blowjob cost him half his fortune, and he's still a fucking filthy rich cunt.
Yeah, something like that. That's what it was.
I know.
Or cheated on his wife with somebody. That's what it was. Okay. But, so it's like, okay, my question, looking at this article, why did they have to go back to 2013? Why are you looking at a 5-year spread? You know, and it's not, you know, the headline says 189 suicide threats, but when you get into the details, it's 189 911 calls with a chunk of them being suicides and others just being people having mental breakdowns. So given the army of people that they employ, I'd love to see what the stats for like Walmart are, because Walmart has more employees than the military. Fuck, I'd like to see what the stats on the military are.
When I first saw the story, I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. Then when you get into the weeds of the story, you're like, this is a hit piece on Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
That's all this is.
That's why I quit reading the second half of the article, because that's all the second half is.
And that's where I wanted to get into. Like, okay, there's 100 and something odd people over X amount of years. This man employs an army. In fact, I would dare say he probably employs half the U.S. Army, like in numbers, for logistics. Like, how many people you reckon work in these enrichment centers?
Got a few of them across the country.
I know, but he wasn't the one in New York said to have something like 25,000 jobs?
Let's see. Amazon has more than, it is actually later in the article. Amazon has more than 150 fulfillment centers across the country where purchased merchandise is packaged and shipped. The centers employ more than 125,000 full-time employees, according to the company. So that's across all 150.
So 125,000, and there was 100 suicide calls.
Well, almost 200, but that's over a 5-year period. I'd love to see the yearly breakdown.
Okay, Foxconn employs, you know, roughly a few more people than that, and they have suicide nets. They stopped making phone calls. They just put suicide nets.
All right, I don't want it to get that bad at any company in my country.
I don't want it to get that bad anywhere. I think that's horrible. But I think, also, when you employ any organization or group of size, you're going to have incidents like this. And for God's sakes, I've had to call 911 because somebody had a breakdown. Wasn't really related to their job, but it happened.
And if you look at the mental health stats, out of that 125,000 people, you're going to have at least
and bipolar, I'm betting. And probably even a couple of schizophrenics.
I mean, okay, yeah, let's just get on the old search engine here. Percentage.
That is a DuckDuckGo, everyone. We don't use
with.
See, Morp's crunching the numbers. This is where your hard-earned donations go towards.
Wait, we're supposed to be getting those? Mental health by the numbers from NAMI.org. Approximately 1 in 5 adults in the U.S., or 18.5%, experience mental illness in a given year. 1 in 25 experiences severe mental illness. So
I would go with the severe.
Yeah, okay, let's say severe.
That they're putting depression in with that mental illness stat.
So let's just see. And so the average here is 4%. So let's see. Where was the number? We had 125,000. Let's just say 125, 123, divided by, let's divide it. Let's try to do it by year. So we'll say divided by 5. That's 1,000 employees a year that potentially have if you're going just by straight population percentages, that are probably going to have a serious mental health issue. So the fact that they only had nearly 200 calls across a 5-year period, that's not as bad as it could have been.
That's you can make a case here that Bezos actually has a pretty good employment history.
Well, I wouldn't claim that. But I would just say that the conditions in these Amazon warehouses probably aren't that much worse than any other warehouse or factory across the country. And people are just picking on him because he's, Jeff Bezos, and he's rich as fuck.
He's Jeff Bezos. So would I want to work for Jeff Bezos in the enrichment center? I doubt it.
No, probably not. But maybe on their IT staff. I bet their sysops, their security people, and their programmers probably make pretty good money.
Yeah. And even if it's like just taking the money out of it.
All right. Now, depending on where your enrichment center is.
I love that we're calling these enrichment centers.
The Amazon starting pay is anywhere between $15 to $18 an hour.
That's pretty good.
If it's an enrichment center, the one in Kentucky, they're actually making okay money for not a college degree.
Yeah. And I would say you could probably get decent hours. You'd probably work all the hours you want, to be honest.
They were going 10-hour work days and you could work 4 to 5. So
full time.
If you're doing that fifth day at 10 hours, you're making 23
grand a year?
No, $23 an hour for that fifth day. Anything over 40 hours is time and a half.
Yeah, you're working for your money, but then again, that's life. Beginning jobs suck ass. But as Madman said,
starting pay, it goes up to, I think it's showing 18.
Wait, so you say bust your ass on the floor for 3 years before you'd move up, I'd say?
You're probably looking about 40-ish grand a year, give or take. I mean,
in America, that is fantastic fucking money.
I mean,
depends on what part of America. That's why I said in Kentucky, they're fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's not fantastic money, but it's decent. It's
in New York, it would suck. Like New York would suck.
LA would suck.
Yeah, for what I'm paying for an apartment here, I couldn't afford a cardboard box in New York. I mean, come on.
I know, but that's why I'm throwing up. It depends on where you are on this starting page on starting wages I'm looking at.
Hell,
but
we were talking at work about a guy who moved down from New York who was buying a tiny one bedroom apartment. Or not buying, but renting. He comes down here and he buys a fucking McMansion. Same money. I mean, you know.
Yeah. But,
So I'm not going to say it's doing fantastic, but I would say it's definitely workable.
I think the working conditions, I think their bigger problem is probably no employee morale. Because even if you're just doing the pick list, if you're not getting human interaction, your job's going to suck and you're going to be depressed. So maybe extend breaks a bit, have a potluck every so often. I mean, you can't do everything to fix it, but that's the only thing I think of that could try to work out any of their problems.
Yeah. So the article's a hit piece. I mean, they've probably got some very legitimate complaints about shit that goes on in those warehouses. And there are a lot of people saying that, hey, this is, he's mistreating his employees, and he look how much money he makes. But these are the same arguments you got about Walmart 5 years ago.
And you could just go with in the warehouse, my job sucks, but hey guys, let's go get a beer after work and blow off the steam from our job sucking.
Now, that said, I did read an article, I want to say last year, maybe it was year before last, about somebody who worked at an Amazon warehouse in the UK. And apparently for them, they mostly were employing basically EU immigrants and, you know, severely underpaying them for the area they were in and just abusing the hell out of them, which was one of the interesting things about the article. But that almost sounded like a local management problem, not like company policy. But yeah, they do have some pretty gnarly, time tracking and employee tracking protocols. But given how many, I mean, I can kind of see where the company's coming from with that kind of stuff. Yeah, it would suck to have that job. I'm glad I don't work in jobs like that anymore. But given the amount of packages they got to ship out every day, I can kind of see where they're just trying to get any efficiency they can. So it's like, yeah, you treat us like robots. Well, you're employed next to a robot because of the package load they have to meet every day. Of course, they're trying to get it as efficient as possible. It makes sense. It sucks, but it does make sense. I mean, you know, I don't think it's coming out of evil or malice. I think it's just coming out of, you know, corporate efficiency.
Yeah.
So. Well, that said, Jeff Bezos is still kind of a dick. So, I mean, you know, whatever.
A rich dick.
He's a rich dick.
Mm-hmm. I don't begrudge him that, man. Like, yeah, everybody wants better treatment as an employee. But hey, sometimes your ambitions get mixed up with your capabilities.
Don't mix up your goals with your needs.
Exactly.
So, next article. I know I said I wasn't going to talk about the Facebook outage, and I'm only going to indirectly talk about it. So, you know, welcome to the machine. That's a great Pink Floyd song, Cyclos. Anyways, let's see. This is from thehackernews.com. Telegram gained 3 million new users during the WhatsApp Facebook outage. WhatsApp, Facebook, and Instagram faced a widespread outage yesterday with users from around the world reporting issues with sending messages on WhatsApp and Messenger, posting feeds on Facebook, and access to other features on the three Facebook-owned platforms.
Good.
Not exactly a fan of that.
Young girls
anymore.
All over the world were so suicidal yesterday.
Well, the outage was quite troubling for both social media giant and millions of users. Guess who benefited the most out of the incident? Telegram. Pavel Durov, the founder of the popular secure messaging platform Telegram, claims to have had a surge in signups within the last 24 hours at the time duration when its rival messaging services were facing downtime. I didn't see 3 million new users signed up for Telegram within the past 24 hours, Durov wrote on his Telegram channel. Good. We have true privacy and unlimited space for everyone. I wouldn't claim you have unlimited space. And more like you're willing to buy enough space for everyone, but okay. Telegram is an excellent alternative to Facebook's Messenger and WhatsApp services, offering users an optional end-to-end encrypted messaging feature so that no one, not even Telegram, can access them. Telegram adopted end-to-end encryption support back in 2013, 3 years before WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger. Besides this, Telegram Messenger has introduced many unique features, blah, 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 paid ad for Telegram, paid ad for Telegram, paid ad for Telegram. But I did think it was funny.
Hey, take advantage of while your opposition's down, man. Give them a kick.
Well, what I think this really proves is that users of these services, Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, it's not any loyalty to these particular services. It's just where their friends are and what's yeah. what they can get into. When they all can't get into Facebook or whatever, they start texting each other, getting on, you know, some other communication platform, Discord or whatever, being like, hey, I can't get into my Facebook. Oh yeah, well let's all go over to Telegram. I mean, or you know, whatever. Skype started to get shitty, we all went to TeamSpeak. TeamSpeak's been up and down, but that's been a different story. I mean, if I wasn't running this TeamSpeak server anymore, we'd all probably be on Discord. I mean, you know.
Hey, we all use Steam.
Yeah.
You know, as a predominant, we all have different gaming platforms, but we mainly use Steam Messenger and stuff. Well, I do.
Yeah, that's probably that's probably the best one we got at the moment.
Well, it's the only one I feel that I can actually say something and not have it taken out of context by Steam. They don't seem to police what you talk about.
Yeah, because it's all direct messages.
It's direct messages, you know.
Now, if you were posting shit on your profile, that might be a little different. But they kind of control what you can and can't post, though. So,
I think if you go shitting up in their forums, they probably have a crack at you.
Oh, yeah. Well, they wouldn't kick you off the platform. They just ban you from the forums.
Exactly. So. But apart from that, I mean, don't shit where you sleep. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they also do voice chat now.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Is it any good? Anyone tried it?
I've done it. My nephew calls me up on it.
We tried to use the screen sharing service, too, and we had it working, but it wasn't all that good.
Yeah, it's not up to par just yet.
Well, we were also screwing around trying to trick it into streaming things it shouldn't.
that, too. But
worst case scenario, we'd leave rude messages for each other in the channel names of the TeamSpeak server. So, which we probably ought to delete that channel there. Nobody really needs to see that. Anyways, I just thought it was hilarious how many people are signing up for Telegram when WhatsApp is down, right? So it's like there's no loyalty to these platforms. It's just who's up and where are all their friends. So
I think if Twitter didn't smack down every competitor that came up against it, Twitter would be done by now.
Yeah, probably. It's not like they make any money. So
Jack Dorsey's a douchebag anyway.
Well, I mean, Facebook kind of does the same thing. YouTube, for that matter, with other video streaming sites.
The space lizard couldn't run shit to save his life. Then again, I didn't use any of those platforms.
So, all right, let's go on to the next one here. This is from the BBC. I believe RU sent me this one. IBM used Flickr photos for facial recognition project. it's just funny. IBM has been accused of using Flickr photos for a facial recognition project without the full consent of the people in the images. So what'd they do? Just write a script and go through and troll Flickr to test their software? Because if you've posted all your pictures publicly, then... Sycros says Twitter's been profitable for the last few years. How? I know they were injecting ads in some of the streams, but I don't see how they've become profitable. Oh, because they bought Square. Okay. Yeah, they've joined it to something else. That makes sense.
Bucky, it's hard to keep track of who owns what.
Disney. Disney owns everything. Just always assume that.
It's the fucking mouse. Always knew
it. Always, it always
mouse.
Makes it back there eventually. They bought Marvel. They bought DC. They bought fucking Jen Henson.
Hold up. They bought DC?
No, I don't think they bought DC.
Yeah.
I think they tried to, though.
Dude, I don't think anybody wants to buy DC. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Their animation department's doing pretty good at the moment.
Their comics are doing as good as Marvel.
I thought their comics were actually doing better than Marvel at the moment.
Yeah, I thought they were.
So, Sycros says they're not using the profits from Foursquare to prop up Twitter. I don't know. I don't see how they're making money though. So,
I thought we would have been through a tech bubble by now. I really thought it was going to be the end of last year. Yeah.
So, that's back to the IBM story here. The company extracted nearly 1 million photos from a data set of Flickr images originally compiled by Yahoo. Many people pictured were probably unaware of how their data has been used, according to an NBC report. IBM said in a statement that it had taken great care to comply with privacy principles. But one digital rights group said IBM's action represented a huge threat to people's privacy. No, the huge threat to people's privacy was when they posted all these photos on fucking Flickr. If you didn't want people seeing these photos and using them for whatever the hell, you shouldn't have posted them. Madman.
Hey, everyone needs to see my ass. Work of art.
As for the courts to decide, Madman, you know that. We can't talk about your trial.
Okay. None of the people...
No one died. Let's throw out, no one died.
None of the people I photographed had any idea their images were being used in this way, a photographer told NBC News. Photos selected by IBM were listed under a Creative Commons license, which generally means the images can be widely used with only a small number of restrictions. Again, you gave them away. In a paper published online about the work, IBM researchers described in detail the steps taken to analyze people's faces, including taking measurements of the distance between individual facial features. I'm sorry, sir, the mole on your nose is 5 centimeters farther from your left eye than your right. Let's see. I lost my train of thought. I was making a nose joke. Many of these measurements can be readily estimated from photos of frontal faces using 47 landmarks to landmark points of the head and face, the researcher wrote. It was these measurements rather than the photos themselves that IBM has compiled into its own data set. Such data can be used to help artificial neural networks better distinguish between faces so that individuals can be recognized in different images. By using large data sets such as this, technology companies hope to make their facial recognition systems more accurate. We take the privacy of individuals very seriously and have taken great care to comply with privacy principles, said IBM in a statement. Individuals can opt out of this data set. However, opting out would only be an option if the individual were aware that their data had been used in the first place. Yeah, here's a random picture of an ass. You can opt out if you know that that's your ass and you want to claim it. Oh no, I'm sorry, that's a picture of Ben Affleck. Anyways, digital rights group Privacy International said IBM had been wrong to use the photos without direct consent from those pictures. For those pictured, Flickr's community guidelines explicitly say, don't be creepy. Unfortunately, IBM has gone far beyond this. Using these photos in this way is a flagrant breach of anti-creepiness, as well as, again, that's for the courts to decide, as well as a huge threat to people's privacy. This is what happened. Okay, I like Creative Commons. I think Creative Commons is good. But when you give away what you've done under Creative Commons, you have very little control over what people do with it. Cycross is still mad at me for saying, you know, Twitter doesn't make money. He's posting links to their earnings sheet. He's like, I don't know how they make money, but it's in there. So
we'll forensically deal with that after the show, Cycross. Thank you for your interest.
So it was a flippant comment, dude. It's fine. I'm more at this point like, you know, okay, Creative Commons is awesome. I think at one point we said Pure Decking is Creative Commons. So if somebody takes one of the Pure Decking episodes and starts chopping it up and making rap music out of it, one, why? It would be terrible. But two, I can't stop you. So other than just pointing out how bad it would be, I don't really have any recourse against it. Actually, I think we have the non-financial in there, so you could do it and you could post it, you just couldn't make any money off of it, but you wouldn't because
now if
it
you
want to
give
awful.
Us a cut,
oh,
we'll negotiate, but hey,
the way Twitter makes money is data mining. They're selling your info.
Oh, just like Facebook.
There you go.
Yeah, so they're selling where you are, what you tweet, what you like. You are the product.
Oh, he's saying he's a business news junkie and Twitter's a hot topic, so he was like ready to pounce on that one when I was just being... No, dude, I was just being flippant. because that was the joke for the longest time, that Twitter didn't make money, but it was still in business. Actually, a lot of people thought it was because the FBI and the CIA were funding them. Which I think at one point they were. Didn't the CIA have an office at Facebook at one point?
Yeah. And Twitter.
Yeah.
And they run data cable out of Twitter.
Well, I know that AT&T had that giant black building that the CIA was involved with, too. So it's like,
okay. Yeah. Going down that rabbit hole was too much. So, you started getting into weird shit, you know, conspiracy theory and stuff like that.
Well, and the funny thing is, it doesn't even matter if you're right. It's still a conspiracy theory. So, like,
I've never been in the building. You know what I mean? So,
I don't know what everybody's upset about. It's just a bunch of cable and servers in there. I mean, you know.
And some dude called Kevin sitting on the floor playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're reading your mail. They have computers who do that
for
them.
Or looking at your pictures.
Yeah, again, they have computers who do that for them. Let's see if I can hit the right sound effect blind.
We're not after your dick pics.
Yes, I got it.
But they are.
Hello, I'm from the Australian government. Do you have something to hide? Seriously, though, do you?
Yes. Oh, that was a rhetorical question. Fuck!
Seriously, though, do you?
I'm only paying cash and don't have a mobile phone. That's got me on a watch sheet.
Yeah, it's called potential drug dealers for some reason. Anyways, let's see.
I thought about that.
The last article I have for tonight, before we get into Dojo, is from Torrent Freak, and I just thought it was kind of cool. YouTube is not liable for copyright infringing vehicles. I don't know how you do a copyright infringing vehicle. It's kind of cool, though. I want one now. YouTube is not liable for copyright infringing videos, according to an appeals court. The Higher Regional Court of Vienna, Austria, has just ruled that YouTube can't be held liable for infringing videos uploaded by users. The court overturned a previous verdict which held that YouTube takes an active role, which disqualifies it from safe harbor protection. Rights holder Pulse 4 is disappointed with the outcome and will take the case to the Supreme Court.
He should, yes. The whole reason, at least in the States, I don't know how the rules work in this country. It's from another country that's doing this.
Australia.
Yeah, the way the rules are supposed to work in our country, the reason they're given the protections for copyright is everyone is supposed to have a say on their platform. They're just posting whatever anyone wants to post.
Yeah, they're supposed to be a commons.
Since they are selectively kicking people off of their platform, they're not open to everyone. They're not AT&T. I can't give them money and they'll give me a phone. They are a publisher. So, yeah, they should be fined for copyright infringement.
Well, let's get into the article. On an average day, roughly 500,000 hours of video are uploaded to YouTube. As with any user-generated content site, this also includes copyright-infringing content. YouTube processes takedown notices and uses its content ID system to automatically remove allegedly infringing content to address this. However, major copyright holders are not always happy with the platform's efforts. Record labels want to see more compensation, for example, and others want YouTube to do more to prevent pirated videos from appearing on the site. In Austria, this led to a lawsuit between the local television channel Plus 4 and YouTube. An initial order last summer, the court ruled that the video platform can be held directly liable for users' copyright infringement. YouTube was not seen as a neutral intermediary and should do more to prevent infringing uploads. The court noted that YouTube takes several motivated actions to actively organize and optimize how videos are displayed. By doing so, it becomes more than a neutral hosting provider. Therefore, it cannot rely on safe harbor defense. Through the connections, sorting, filtering, and linking, in particular by creating tables of contents according to predefined categories, determining the surfing behavior of users, and creating a tailor-made surfing proposal offering help, etc., YouTube leaves the role of a neutral intermediary and therefore cannot claim the host provider privilege, the court wrote. YouTube just grew. The ruling and appealed the matter to the Higher Regional Court of Vienna. The video service maintained that as a neutral hosting provider, it's protected under the safe harbor provisions of the Austrian E-Commerce Act. After careful review of the case, the Higher Regional Court of Vienna agreed with YouTube, overturning the previous order. According to the appeal court, YouTube doesn't have an active role and is therefore shielded from liability through its safe harbor defense. The court doesn't dispute that YouTube provides a search, categorization, and advertising services. However, these are seen as part of the normal business model of hosting platforms and do not make the company liable. If it had to forego structuring and search options in order to avoid a damaging appropriation of video content, its video platform would lose all user-friendliness, the court writes in its decision. The less users are able to find videos of interest to them amid the vast multitude of uploaded videos, several hundred million in this case, the less it would make sense to even visit such a video platform. Plus Four cited the GS Media Sonoma case, in which the European Court of Justice ruled that posting infringing hyperlinks during the course of business can lead to liability. However, that doesn't apply in this case, the court notes, as YouTube wasn't aware of the infringing nature of the videos. In summary, the Higher Regional Court of Vienna concludes that as a hosting platform, YouTube benefits from safe harbor privilege. It means that it's not liable for uploads of users, and Plus Four's complaint is dismissed as a result. The outcome is good news for YouTube, as the order from the lower court severely threatened the operation of the video platform. However, it is not the end of the road yet. The Higher Regional Court of Vienna allows for the case to be appealed to the Supreme Court, and Plus Four informs StormFreak that it will use the opportunity. Plus Four stresses that the current decision does not take into account relevant decisions of the CJEU, including the case regarding the infringing nature of the Pirate Bay. Nor does it reference the recent developments regarding liability under the proposed Article 13 of the EU Copyright Directive. Plus Four will therefore definitely file an appeal to the Supreme Court, the company spokesperson informed StormFreak. A German court referred various copyright infringement-related questions to the European Court of Justice a few months ago. Since this involves YouTube directly, the Austrian Supreme Court will likely consider the pending outcome in this case as well. So... same with Cloudflare, they editorialize. You know, and that's an interesting argument. They do. Oh, and DP View has made it into the chat room, unaware of the American time change, I'm sure. So, yeah, we'll see how, you know, we're about an hour in. Let's see, 57 minutes, 15 seconds, if you want to know exactly. But, so it's an interesting argument, you know, is YouTube liable or not? You know, are they a publisher or are they just a content platform?
I don't think the ranking and the linking would make them as much a publisher, even though that is kind of publishing. I think it's the denying their service which makes them a publisher.
Like when they kick somebody off of it, like saying Alex Jones.
Yeah, like if you're saying Alex Jones can't be on, or PragerU's actually been hit. And they just have professors, but they're limited on who can see them.
Are they really?
Yeah, if you go to a library or a school, you can't watch a PragerU video.
I did not know.
They're considered mature content, even though they meet FCC guidelines because their shows, some of them are small enough, they actually get thrown on as commercials in certain areas.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, you can be just in the middle of whatever you're listening to in a PragerU video is played over the stereo. But they're considered mature content. It's restricted.
I think the SPLC classed them as hate speech.
Yeah. But they're crazy.
Then again, it's the SPLC.
Yeah, anything that doesn't toe the Democratic talking points is considered hate speech by those guys. So it's almost like they're not making an honest effort anymore. Just playing political games. I don't know.
But I think once they start editing people that way, they cease being safe harbor. Yeah. At least from this country's definition of safe harbor.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what comes of this, because I feel like even though it's the EU court and it's not really going to have much bearing over here, it'd be an interesting precedent. You know what I mean?
It could be used as an argument in Congress. Teddy's talking about trying to remove their safe harbor provisions over here.
So, we'll see. But so let's hit the button. Let's do this. All right, got two things for us tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is a pretty cool article from Null Sweep on doing open source intelligence on digging up somebody. So,
Google Dorky?
Yeah, basically, but they've got a bunch of different information about how to go about doing that, and they kind of follow sort of an example of like some woman where they have a previous name for her, but it's an interesting read just to kind of skim through it and see all the different techniques they use to track a person down, get some different names, birthdays, email addresses, ex-husbands, location tracking, and they've got links to some of the different stuff they use. So it's an interesting read. I'm not going to go over it entirely on here, but it's definitely worth your time if you're into internet privacy, because it kind of shows you how people go about doxing. So that alone is kind of worth making it read if you're curious about this kind of thing. And, if you're a bad guy, hey, it shows you how to do it. So, I don't know, are you? You enjoy the occasional Google search?
Well, yeah, the LinkedIn thing, that's not going to do that now because you have to have an account.
Well, that's why you set up, 5 or 6 fake accounts and maintain them.
Yeah. But you are getting into it. Like, if you do get caught, you're leaving a trail of your own.
That's also off true.
You got to think, how big a trail am I leaving? That's what made me stop doing a lot of it. Is I actually looked at some of the trails I was leaving. Because you have to log into some of these things now. You know what I mean? I know you can just 10-minute email it and shit like that, but still, you're still leaving a trail, man. Because they are looking for this stuff now, and they do prosecute you for this stuff now. I don't know so much in the Americas, but I know it's illegal here.
A lot of times they'll prosecute you, yeah.
Yeah, and look, you're not going to do this much unless you're going to use it. Some of this stuff is public records. That's, once again, you're leaving a trail.
I thought it was an interesting write-up. It's definitely worth a read.
Yeah, it's a step-by-step on how to do it. But a lot of the stuff I used to use is now behind paywalls.
Yeah.
Because they knew that their services were being used for that.
Well, not just that, but also, they saw an opportunity to make money, and of course.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, but I think the main thing here, the Google is about learn how to use the Google. If you learn how to use the Google, you don't need to do any of this. And if you're throwing friend requests out to Facebook people to try and get to them that way, have a good hard look at yourself and why you're doing this shit.
Yeah, what I mean? That's going a little too far, usually. When you've hit that level, you're pushing it. Or you're a paid pen tester and you're, trying to take the social engineering.
Well, that's what I mean. I got to a point where I started to creep myself out with some of the shit I was doing, and I just went, nope, I'm not doing that anymore.
All right, well, how about for something, less about tracking people and more about breaking systems? This one's this one's an article from Haber.com, Haber.com, and this is a write-up on how to discover MongoDB and Elasticsearch databases that are not password protected, and it turns out people still do this shit. So MongoDB and Elasticsearch are SQL-less databases. They're not even really a database. They're more of a key value store. And that is such a technical definition that most people who aren't really into data science won't understand why I'm segmenting it like that. And the people who really are into data science are going to be mad at me for not explaining it better. So...
So you're pissing everyone off.
Yeah, well, that's welcome to Pure Decking, where everyone hates me because I'm depressing. This is a guide for finding people who post these data store systems open without password protection, without any kind of protection usually. And the reason they do that is because by default, these systems don't have any. Last time I looked, if you wanted to password protect Elasticsearch, you actually had to buy it. You could, the open source version just didn't support it. Now, there, I think there were some third-party add-ons that did it. So really the idea was you would never internet expose these data stores and you would put up a service in front of it, right? So for an Elasticsearch database, you would have some other program that you've written front-ending it so that it was a web interface or whatever, and you would put all you were supposed to put all your controls there, and you should never publicly expose these things. Which is, you know, an interesting concept in theory, just have these services that you just don't put on the internet. These are all back-end services. The only thing that should ever be talking to them is your middleware and front-end services, right? Well, as we all know, nobody does this shit right. So obviously these things that are never supposed to be on the internet are put on the internet all the fucking time. So this is a guide on how to find them using mostly Shodan. And if they don't have a password on them, you just connect to them and you start dumping data out, right? Or, you know, worse, putting data back in. Yeah. So there's the Shodan information on how to do it. Then there's also a GitHub page to a Python program called Leak Looker for discovering MongoDB, CouchDB, Elasticsearch. And there's a link here to lamppyre.io, which is another web search engine that seems to be cataloging a lot of this stuff, and it'll find things like MongoDB for you. So... you know, nice, interesting write-up on it. You know, I think to get the better data out of Shodan, you actually have to pay for Shodan. But as somebody who's involved in the field, that Shodan subscription is worth it. Let me just put it that way. It's worth tossing Shodan the $15 to have some credits to get the API key and the and occasionally they have, you know, specials and stuff like that. So if you're really cheap, sometimes you get it. You know, I think I actually paid like $8 for a Shodan key. Anyways, these services are definitely worth getting into. But if you really don't trust using a third-party service, there's always MassScan. Just scan the internet yourself. Find them. You just got to understand the ports these things are using and how to identify them. So, but scanning the internet yourself tends to get you kicked off by your ISP because they'll think you've been hacked. So,
yeah.
Just wanted to see if I could find a smelting plant in Germany.
Now, that said, you know, if you do want to scan the internet, AWS servers don't tend to get blocked. Just saying. Now, Amazon themselves will, you know, they'll happily take your money for the network traffic and then shut you down if they think you're doing something nefarious. But so I'm not saying that Amazon will let you do it, but I might have had success scanning shit from there before. Just saying.
I think I can pull up an Iron Geek video. There's already somebody doing it. Just go to his website and see what he found.
Oh, I'm sure there are. But, yeah, and when you get into these databases, it's really interesting what people put into them because sometimes they're logging systems, but you'll find usually they're backends for, like, data management systems. And some of the ones that people have found have been these things that you normally have to, like, pay a lot of money to get access to those data sets because that's what that company does is they sell those data sets. But they've got the Elasticsearch database sitting on the internet with no password, and you can just download it. So it's like, okay, you know, kind of situational. But wow, there's a shooting in New Zealand.
It's still going.
Yeah, DPV. We're specifically not talking about that on the show tonight.
Just the simple fact it's still unfolding right now. There's a lot of stuff. I'm watching some stuff live right now. But
we can chuck them that link we found.
Nah, I'm not.
No, okay.
You can find it, man. The website's out there. You know the one. It has a 4 in front of it. And there's a board there that starts with a P. That's boards for you can find everything right there right now.
So,
but because it hasn't finished developing, man, I'm not commenting on it just yet.
No.
I'm not worried about the subject matter or anything like that. I just, there's a shit ton of information to go through, and I ain't fucking CNN. I'm not just going out with what I've got. But it's still unfolding. It's bigger than you think. And this is going to, some message boards are definitely going to go away in the next couple of weeks. Especially one starting with an 8.
Oh, you think they'll actually take the boards down?
Well, they're already calling for it. But I'd just like to say most of the stuff that was dumped on 8 was also dumped on Twitter. So if 8 goes away, then Twitter needs to go away as well under those rules. Just saying. But that's what I mean. We'll deal with that once the facts have come out. There's a lot to unfold.
We're probably not unpack. Honestly, probably not going to deal with that one on decking, other than the fact that the guy was posting on these boards.
I mean, it's not. If anything, we will talk about it in the context of what's happening digitally, on who's getting banned, things like that, but won't be going into motives or anything like that. That's about the only thing we do on this show for it. Would be the digital ramifications of what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't want to get into. I mean, yeah. We my politics come out every once in a while, sure. And
there are other shows for that.
But I don't. Look,
there are other shows on the internet that are going to deal with this. So if you want details, go find them. But yeah, we'll deal with the digital outcome of this. That'll be about it.
Yeah, there's no cyberpunk vibe to this. This is just crazy.
This just looks like Rampage, the movie, part 3.
So, anyways, that's all I got. Pure Decking every Thursday. We listen to the stream. We're always working on it. That's actually a lie, but we still say it because it's in the show notes. Galaxy 15 Radio site, the subreddit, IRC. In the IRC tonight, we had myself, Sardonic, Psychros, DPView, Iron Angel, and Madman. Madman, closing thoughts.
I wonder if we can get a petition started to stop daylight savings time. I don't care which way we start stop it, the sprung forward or the fall back. I just don't want to change my clock again.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's at this point that's purely just to keep people confused.
Well, it just fucks up my lunch habits, man. Every 6 months, I gotta fucking move my lunch either an hour ahead or an hour forward. Back, sorry. God damn it.
Americans.
I know, I have to deal with your daylight savings bullshit. It's crap.
Yeah, are we the only country dumb enough to do this?
We used to do it, but everybody's carpet kept fading from the extra sunlight, so we stopped.
Oh, that's a great reason right there. I just love that they think farmers are too stupid to not realize, this time of year I need to get up an hour earlier. That's always the thing. Oh, it's for the farmers. It's like, no.
It's not they're the fucking farmers,
they can
man.
Figure it out if they need to get up an hour earlier.
If you have livestock that requires, say, milking in the morning and in the evening, those cows are going to show up at the exact same fucking time every day. It doesn't matter whether we push the clock forward or back. They can't read the climb. They just know when to show up. Saving thing is bullshit.
Yeah,
man.
There was this scam YouTube video where this guy had built a really fancy looking, I think it was an electromagnet, or maybe it was just a dildo. I don't know. It shook. Anyways, he then put a mechanical watch on it, and of course the watch hands went nuts with this thing, right? And he's like, "Oh, see, look, it's creating time fields." It's like, no, it's just fucked up your watch. I mean, come on.
Yeah. look at this magnet, man. I can manipulate the image on my television. And no, you're destroying your TV.
All right, are you closing thoughts?
That all I got for today.
Yeah. So. All right, well, my closing thoughts are hitting sound effects, so here we go.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Oh, man, it's like a Tasmanian devil, one buck wild on some spaghetti in here.